titled, How to Hear the Voice of God. So, if you got one of these or you need one of these, you should take notes because you all are smarter than a fifth grader. Amen. So, how to hear the voice of God. And let me start off with a story. Many, many moons ago in a far, far away land in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Jack and I were graduating from Bible school and we were going to come back. Well, let me back up. We were graduating and we had two offers on the plate. One of them, yes, that's the one I want. The one that I wanted is we'd been a part of a church for 3 years. I loved my church family. I just loved my pastors, my friends. I just kind of loved my life. And they had called us into the office, Pastor Buddy called us into the office and said, you know, I'd like you guys to pray about being youth pastors. I was like, good, I don't have to leave. I can hang out with my church family. I was just like, that's the one. And then we had another offer on the plate was to come back to York, your hometown, and be an associate pastor for a church. So we figured, you know, at least me, I was like, you know, I graduated Bible school. We should probably pray, you know, but I already know what I want to do. But, you know, let's just pray about it. Anybody ever do that? You've already made up your mind. And, you know, okay, I'm going to pray. So I started praying about it, and I was not happy with what I heard. Not at all. So I started these kind of prayers. You know where you go, but God. Anybody do one of those? Yeah, no. You know, God, I wrote the program. I should be doing what I want to do. So I started praying, and I didn't like it. And the first time I heard what the Lord wanted us to do, he wanted us to come back to York to be an associate pastor. And I said, get behind me, Satan. That is not of God. Anybody ever have, because it really wasn't. And then I did one of these negotiation meetings. Now, you know, Lord, Jesus went to his hometown and they didn't roll out the red carpet. So if they didn't roll out the red carpet for Jesus, you know, come on, we don't want to go back to our hometown. And then, I don't know, I'm trying to remember what other things I started saying. And I just started dishing out all these excuses. And Jack says, come on, Dee, let's just pray about this again. I don't want to pray about it again. So praise God, he heard first, I heard last. So I started praying. And the more I just took it to the Lord, Lord, what do you want us to do? Stay in Tulsa or come back to the hometown? I kept hearing, come back to the hometown. Come back to York. Come back to York. And I started to get this peace. Not the goosebump, you know, thing, but I started having this peace. And the more I would go to the Lord, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'd go to him and say, now, Lord, what do you want us to do? I just would stick inside me like oatmeal on a burnt pot. Anybody ever do that? Yep, it just was sticking. And I realized I was hearing the voice of the Lord, and that was what we did. So, praise the Lord. So, why did I tell you all of this? Well, we're going to talk about you all hearing the voice of the Lord. You all hearing the voice of the Lord. Everybody say, I'm going to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, the crazy, wonderful thing is, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, guess what? God will talk to you. God wants to talk to you. He will talk to you so that you will hear his voice. Hands down, that's what he wants to do. And he wants you to hear him above all other voices. And we're going to talk about different voices that are in the land. But he is just so wonderful. You know, when you're a believer, God is God. And the God that is God knows the future. He knows everything. It doesn't get, your life has not caught him by surprise. Everybody think like, didn't catch God by surprise. And God will speak to you and even tell you things to come. Like, go back to York, which I was very glad I did. So today we're going to talk about, really the whole series, we're going to talk about four main ways that God communicates with us. So write that down. Four main ways that God communicates to us. And I'm going to call it the four voices of God. We're not going to do all of them today. We're going to kind of talk about it for the next month here. But here's the thing, the big idea that I want you to walk out of here just understanding so clear that it just stays with you. So if you're taking notes, write this down. You were created to recognize God's voice and follow His voice. You were created to recognize God's voice and to follow it in a world that's got tons of different voices. Matter of fact, I thought they were popping it up. Okay, so think about this. You were created to recognize God's voice in a world that's full of strange voices. Now, let's look at the first part. You were created to recognize God's voice. How many of you know that? Okay, you were created to recognize God's voice. And that word created, you were created. If you're a believer, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, and He has come, He has made you His child. He's recreated you on the inside. And He now, because of recreating you, making you Him your child, He has created you to hear His voice above all the other strange voices. And we're going to talk about some of the crazy, wonderful, strange voices that are out there. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you a story. Especially moms. And a bunch of you dads, you can identify with this. But when I grew up, my mom came to all of our games, came to all of our shows and whatnot. Now, my dad worked in Manhattan until he got home. Praise the Lord, he missed it. That's what he would say. But he wasn't able to go to all this stuff. Yeah, you know, the concert choirs and all that stuff. But my mom would go up to come to them, and she would sit in the stadium. Especially my senior year, she'd come to the football games and sit in the stadium. And all of a sudden I'd hear, "Dee Dee!" That's what my family calls me. "Dee Dee!" And I would hear the voice before I saw my mom. So I thought a rite of passage. Anybody do that? The rite of passage for all parents. Guess what I did? So I only had one child really that played sports, and that's my youngest, Cassie, who will be in town next week with my grandson. So you don't want to miss that. You need to be here. Okay. So Cassie played field hockey, and I would, I'd be running, you know, a mom of four kids, and I very seldom did I get to the game on time because I'm picking up kids and stuff, but I get to the game and I'd see her and I'd do the, "Cassie! Cassie!" And you know what? My voice would bypass all the other noise. My voice would pierce all through the other noises, and she would hear, and then she'd look at me. And then my mom did this. Oops, excuse me. So then I'd have to stand up and do that. That was the first part. But listen, my voice pierced all the other voices, and she'd hear it and she'd find me. Okay. Any parents do that? You ought to. It's like payback. It's really, you really write that down. If you don't have kids, you need to be doing that. Okay. So why do I tell you that? Because you live in a world that is full of a whole bunch of strange voices. Yep, you live in a world that's full of all sorts of voices, strange voices. Some of them are good, some of them are crazy, right? Some of them are good, some of them are crazy. But listen, you live in a world with a whole bunch of voices here. And God wants you to know His voice and to follow it, and not all the crazy voices, not all the strange voices. All righty, so we're going to talk about that. And why could Cassie, that's the question, why could Cassie recognize my voice? I'm her mother. Back then, I knew she'd been living with me for 16, 17 years, right? She was trained to hear my voice, trained to recognize my voice, right? They better be after that long, right? Yeah. Okay. She could recognize my voice in the midst of all the other strange voices. So we're going to talk about that, and because God wants us to recognize His voice above all the other strange voices that are out there, alrighty? Now, for some of you, you already have been doing this. You've been living this, right? You've been living this. You know how to hear God's voice, but maybe you've kind of backed down from tuning in and listening to that voice. And some of you, this is like new. What do you mean God can talk to you and you can hear His voice? Well, for all of us, what I hope to do is take you up to another level, just grow higher where you're just, you know, and you hear and you follow after His voice. So let me give you two scriptures that just say it really well. It's in John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 10:4 and 10:5. John 10, 4, verse 5, 4 and 5. Okay, here we go. He, Jesus, and I'm reading out of the Living Bible, so he is Jesus, walks ahead of them, Christians, them as Christians. He, Jesus, walks ahead of them, the Christians, and they follow, for they recognize his voice. You see that word, recognize? Okay, you know what that means? Listen to this. Okay, so what happens? We know it's him, right? We hear his voice and we know it's him and we acknowledge it. And then we follow. So we know it's him, we acknowledge it, and then we follow. Okay, so have you ever had a conversation with your kid or your spouse and they hear your voice and they're not moving? They didn't acknowledge, and they sure didn't follow. Okay? Get it? You're not allowed to do that to your spouses, please, your kids. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. So, he, Jesus, walks ahead of them, for they follow him, for they recognize his voice. Verse 5. They won't follow a stranger, but will run from him, for they do not recognize his voice. So, do they hear the stranger? Yep, they hear the stranger, but they're not going to acknowledge him and they're not going to follow him. Alrighty? So maybe you grew up not knowing God and maybe you grew up not hearing him and following him. And so therefore you might be following the strange voices, right? I didn't receive Jesus into my life till I was almost 21 years old. And I want to tell you, I heard a lot of voices and I didn't hear the Lord's voice until at that point. All right. So it's real easy. All right. And the thing is, God doesn't want you following all those other voices. He wants you to hear his voice, acknowledge it, and follow his voice. So we're going to talk about that. So I want to talk about strange voices today. Everybody say strange voices. We're going to talk about them. And I actually came up with four, and there could be a whole bunch of subcategories, but I'm just going to give you four so I can get you out of here before noon. So number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. The first one is the strange voice of the culture. So I'm giving you four voices that God does not want you to follow because he wants you to follow his voice. But there's a bunch of strange voices. So the first strange voice that he doesn't want you to follow is the voice of the culture. Alrighty. Now, when I say culture, I'm not talking about the music of the day. I'm not talking about the clothing of the day or the hairstyles of the day. I'm not talking about tattoos or piercings. Because really, God's not interested in that. Okay, just saying that for some people. Alrighty. So, but what I am talking about is the ideology of the culture. Or let's say it this way. What I'm talking about is the beliefs of the culture that's on the planet. There's a lot of culture and a lot of beliefs in the culture that are on the planet right now. And they can get you down some roads that you're not supposed to. So, the culture. Now, let me give you a real simple example about this. Really simple. How many of you have read in your Bible where Jesus prayed over the food and blessed it? Whoa, not half of you did? Well, write that down. I'll go Google. Google, where does it say that? Okay, and it also says in quite a few other places where you're supposed to pray over your food, bless it, ask the Lord to bless it. So when I go out to eat, I definitely do it when I go out to eat. I'm getting better at home because I have this bad habit since it's me, is I kind of stand and go. And I really need to sit and eat. You find out you will eat less because when you stand and go, you just keep going. All right. So, but for sure, when I go out to eat, I always pray over my food. So if I go out with Dolores, I'm going to say, hey, let's pray over the food. And I just, out of reverence to God, I'll bow my head and just, Father, I thank you for this company. I thank you. We're going to talk about Jesus and I thank you for the food and that it's good for us in Jesus' name. And then I will open my eyes, and you know who's usually standing next to me? The waiter or the waitress. And some of them will smile at you. Some of them will think you're crazy. Sometimes you look over the table next to you, and they're staring at you. And if they're smiling, they're probably a believer, they're a Christian, they're a follower, and they're like, oh, that's good. You remember to pray over your food. And then sometimes you look over at the table and they're giving you like, you're off the wall, lady. What are you doing? Okay? But listen, guys, that is just a simple example of me hearing God's voice, because that's the word of God, and following it, and not the culture who's looking at me like, come on, lady, what's your story? Okay, real simple, simple, simple example, okay? How many of you know the number one voice of God? You can say it. The word, yay! Okay, you get 50 points on the test. Okay. The number one voice that God talks to you is the word, the scriptures, okay? The number one way. Now, I'm going to go over through the next couple weeks like four different ways, but the number one way is he's going to talk to you through the scriptures. Number one way, all righty? And we're going to see that many, many, many times the things you see in the word of God, the culture's doing the exact opposite. Anybody know that? Anybody see that? You're reading this in the Bible and then you're looking at the culture around you. Whoa. Oh, okay. So praise the Lord. All right. So if you're taking notes, write this down. I like to say it this way. We cannot follow the culture that isn't following God. We cannot follow the culture if it's not following God or the scriptures, the word. All righty. So praise, listen, there's some fun things in the culture. I am so glad that I can wear pants to church. I like that part of my culture, all right? But there's some goofy things in the culture, all righty? So you can't follow it if it's not in the scriptures. Praise the Lord, following God. How many of you know 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. The God of this world has blinded. Now, it's not weird. He doesn't make them blind. But what the God of this world does is he'll program us to follow the culture. Okay? So that he's blinded our eyes for those that do not know the Lord, that they're just going to follow the culture. All righty? Now, the culture that's out of there, pretty much the culture, most of them do not know the Lord Jesus. Okay, it doesn't mean they're terrible people, right? Doesn't mean they're terrible people. I know some really moral people that are not believers yet, all right? But pretty much the culture out there that we see, the majority of them aren't Christians. And guess what? They are going to do some things and live some ways that is just the opposite of what God wants us to be doing and living. The culture is going to do a bunch of things and live a different ways that is not the way God tells us in the word. Praise the Lord. That's not good, though. All righty? That is not good. Now, we need to realize, though, we get bombarded with all these voices that are out there. Turn on the TV. Man, there's a lot of strange voices in the culture there that are telling you to do this. And yet the scriptures, as you read them, says go this way. All righty. So we're not supposed to follow those strange voices. And if the strange voice of the culture is prejudice, or if the strange voice of the culture is racist, if the strange voice of the culture is telling you to do some things, it does. The culture will tell you that. And we are not to follow that. We are to recognize God's voice and follow it. Praise the Lord. So let me just talk about this and bring it home a little bit closer. There is a culture in your family. That is different than the one you read. Such as, Okay. Such as, in my family, Irish Catholic, at a wake, we call them memorial services, we go out to eat. And they take shot glasses at the end, and we drink up to the dead person. We just don't do drink one, though. Okay? That is the culture of my family. And I stand out. No, I don't want to put it like that. Okay. Sometimes you may have close friends that are Christians. And sometimes they're doing things that are the culture, listening to the voice of the culture, and not following what the Word of God says. Okay, I'll never forget. This is about a year after I received Jesus in my life. I'm a follower. I'm trying to be a follower. And God starts dealing with my heart to leave the denomination that I grew up in. And I kind of danced around it with my dad. And he was like, no problem. Because you know what? He didn't attend the church of the denomination. He never went. He went there for christenings. That was about it. Now, my mom was another story, and so I just went to her. I said, Mom, I really feel like God's dealing with my heart. I'm hearing God speak to me, you know, but I said it really, really easy for her, and she was okay with it. She was cool with it. But my best friend at the time was Italian, so you know what denomination she was raised in, the same one of mine. Okay, so she goes to her dad, and she says, Dad, God's dealing with my heart to not go to this church anymore. Okay, like that. And you know what her dear dad said? If you live in my house, you go to church with us. You choose not to go to church with us, you come home and your clothes and all your belongings are going to be out on the front lawn. Yeah, so it shook her. And we were smart enough. We were new believers. We were about a year old in the Lord. We knew to pray. So we're praying, God, God. And you know, even in our little bit of I know Jesus, God gave her this incredible wisdom. Incredible wisdom. And she said, Dad, I respect what you said. And I respect if you don't want me to live here, I respect that. You know, honor your parents, okay? But God's been dealing with my heart. All right. And Dad, I will always love you. You will always be my dad. But God's dealing with my heart, and I'm going to obey God. So we went to the other church, my friend and I, that Sunday morning. And when she got home, her clothes were not on the front lawn. Yeah. All righty. Matter of fact, it was really kind of neat. Within the next, I don't remember, you guys, I can't remember, like 5 years, her dad, through Full Gospel Businessmen, everybody know about Full Gospel Businessmen back in the day, went to a dinner, they had a guest speaker. He received Jesus, Lord and Savior of his life, changed his life, left that particular denomination and just followed God till the day he died. So that's cool. But well, you know what I've learned? When we buck the culture on something that's biblical, God will bring the family in. I watch that in my family. I watch that in my family time and time again. But if you yield to the culture, it'll be tough going. So basically, I'm saying you need to swim upstream against the current, all right? That's what you're going to do. You're going to have to buck it. As you hear God's voice, okay, ask for wisdom on how to say it. And listen, you buck the culture for the things that God's spoken and the word of God. He'll make things great. He'll make some great things. Okay, here's a scripture. It's a real familiar one, but I'm going to have them put them up on the screen because I asked them to put up the Message Bible. Anybody have the Message Bible? This is the one whenever, sorry, I love you boys. Guys, I love you. But I get guys that say, Pastor D, I don't like to read. I give them this Bible. They come back and they go, oh, I like this. It's just written so good and clear. Okay, so we're going to read out of Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. All right. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture, right, that you fit in without even thinking. So this is what God's doing. I want you to look at the culture, and I want you to look at the scriptures, and I want you to figure out the right. It's that way. Okay. Alrighty. Okay. Keep reading. Instead, fix your attention on God. So that's another way of saying fix your attention on those scriptures. Fix your attention on the word of God. Everybody say the word of God. Alrighty. So that's what you're to do instead. Fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. From the inside out. Now, I'm not going to give you a lot of specifics today on don't do this and you better be doing this. All right. even though if you ask me, sometimes I really want to tell you, but I'm not going to give you examples like that, because I believe that as you get into the scriptures, it'll start working on the inside out. We used to sing a song. Margie, you remember this? Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, whatever that part was. Okay. Hey, that wasn't too bad today. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. Listen, God will grow you. God will change you from the inside out if you get into the Word of God. Absolutely, absolutely. And if God directs you in the Scripture, then it's going to be good. Okay, keep reading. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond. You know why He says quickly? Because if you don't respond the first time that you read that and it's speaking to you, you'll forget. Yeah, I'll write it on a list and you know, I'll lose it. Okay, you'll forget. So He says, readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. So did you catch that? Listen, the culture is going to take you down a dead-end road and it is not going to end well. I lived 21 years doing that culture. And I want to tell you, I hit some head on dead end roads and it didn't end well with me. But I was doing, what do your kids say? But everybody else is doing it, Mom. Yep. But everybody else is doing that. You want to hear one? Oh my gosh. Okay. My Sherry, senior year, is that my phone binging all the whole time? Okay. Somebody else is. All right. I was like, what? Okay. Sherry was my easiest kid to raise. She was just easy. But her senior year, she goes, Mom, after homecoming, we're all going over to the Miller's house and we're having a sleepover. All the girls? No, Mom. Everybody. We're all going over there. Mom, everybody's going over there. I was like, that was the culture and it still is. Okay. So you know what I did? I called that woman up, talked to her, and I won't go through the rest of the story. Okay, but I will tell you, Sherry was my easiest kid to praise the Lord. All righty. So, you know, it's really interesting when you are walking in the culture, there's no pressure to walk with the culture that's around you. But you decide to go upstream. Man, there's some pressure to follow the Lord. But listen, you follow God's ways, the scriptures, what God's talking to you through the Word of God, it will end well. There'll be peace in your life. Even if you hit those valleys, we talked about that about a month ago, it will be peace and joy. All right. So the culture. Let's do number two. I think I beat that one. Here we go. Number two, strange voice that God does not want you to follow. Number two, ready? Strange spiritual voices. I know a little bit about this, okay? I remember in middle school, my friend, Italian, first name Regina, she got a Italian horn. It's a necklace with an Italian horn. Who knows what that is? Who doesn't know what that is? Okay, it's a horn, it's twisted, okay? And you hang it on a chain, and if you're Italian, the reason why you have the horn is to keep the evil away. The people that put curses on you. Yeah. You should have grown up in North Jersey. You guys missed it. Yeah. Okay. Around here, they got powwow. So don't even say that's bad around here. Okay. Not bad around here. Alrighty. So now, especially if you own a gold one, so it's like a horn and it's a little bit twisted and you don't know what it means, keep wearing it. Whatever. It's all right. But if you own that Italian horn and you're doing it to keep the curse away, I think you need to not go by the culture and have a good talk with God about it. Okay. Have a talk with God about it and melt down your gold and get some earrings. Praise the Lord. Okay. But praise God. That is a culture thing, okay? And they believe if you wear that, it keeps the curses off of you. And listen, if you're a believer, If you're a believer, if you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, you are covered in the blood. Okay? Psalm 91. You don't have to be afraid of that stuff. Don't, geez, ja-la-la. Okay, now, another thing I did in middle school, I was just living so good in middle school. Nancy up the street got an Ouija board. Who does not know what one of those is? Okay, see me after service. So we go down, of course, we didn't do it on the front lawn in broad daylight. Where do you go? Down the basement, we got candles lit, bunch of teenage girls, and I swear the candles would blow out. I don't know if someone was blowing them out. It was like this. And then that board would, we'd ask its questions and it would go this way and that way. And, you know, I don't know if someone was pushing it or whatnot, but it started freaking me out. Okay? Strange voices. That's one of those things. Okay? And later on, I got into horoscopes, you know, that was like when I was in high school, everybody was doing their horoscopes, okay. I just opened doors like that, all right. I really didn't know. But then, guess what? I met the Lord Jesus. And when you accept Jesus into your life, you'll begin to realize, wow, I don't think that's the voice or the road I should be on. It was just slowly coming to me. I was like, well, yeah. So I found out. And you know why? Because God doesn't want us following any other voice but his voice. And those are strange voices. And they'll tell you things. Sometimes they're true. But that's a strange voice. That's a strange voice. And God doesn't want you going down that road. There's a really cool story. It's in the Old Testament. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. This is the Message Bible if you just want to look at it because you don't have the Message Bible, but just write it down. Deuteronomy 18:9. And then I'm going to read verse 11. Okay, so here's it goes. When you enter the land that God, your God, is giving you, he's talking to the children of Israel. So children of Israel, he's given you some instructions. I love instructions. Yeah, on a good day. I do. I love instruction. So he says, when you enter this land, all right, when you go there, don't take on the abominable ways of life of the nations there. Okay, so he's telling them, when you go conquer that land, the land of Cana, I don't want you picking up their ways. Okay, their strange voices ways. Jump down to verse 11 and listen what he's telling them, really specific. Don't practice divination. Divination is seeking the knowledge of future through strange voices. Okay? Don't practice divination, sorcery, fortune telling, palm reading, crystal balls, cards, witchery, casting spells, holding seances, and channeling with the dead. Channeling with the dead is where dead spirits will get into a person and they'll start talking to you. All right? Now, that's just pretty crazy, isn't it? Back then, they were doing that. Guess what people do today? I always say, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Same stuff, okay? Praise God. And what God was saying, simply, hey, guys, don't do that. Don't follow the culture. Don't follow their strange voices. He's really black and white on that one. All righty? Now, here's some really interesting, you love Bible trivia. Sometimes I read it, I'm going, holy cow, that is just bananas. Okay, so I'm researching this, and back when that was written, Deuteronomy and stuff, there was the Babylonian Empire and the Roman Empire, and they were massive, powerful empires back then. Super powerful, all right? And do you know how they made their decisions to go to war? You'll love this one. Ready? Look at the liver. Look at the liver. So they'd sacrifice an animal, pull out the liver, and they'd decide, I don't know. And it's really interesting. None of the commentaries could say, well, if it's got spots, we don't go to war. If it looks good, we go to war. None of them, they weren't sure. But it says they'd look at the liver to decide where they're going to war. Can you just see our generals? Some days you wonder. No, okay. Now, this is even written in Ezekiel. Just write this down. Ezekiel 21:21. This is out of the Living Bible. For the king of Babylon stands at the fork, uncertain whether to attack Jerusalem or Rabbah. He will call his magicians, you know, those strange voices, to use divination. They will cast lots by shaking arrows from the quiver, and then they will sacrifice to idols and inspect the liver of their sacrifice. Okay, so this is crazy. They get their quiver. That's the thing that holds the arrows. They shake it, throw it up, watch the arrows come down, and decide, well, should we attack them here today? Should we go that way? Okay, and then if that, they're just a little uncertain, then they hack up some animal and they pull out the liver. Okay, strange voices. And God's telling us, you were created to hear his voice. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Hey, I will say, when I had my gallbladder out and I finished, my doctor came in and he says, boy, you got a nice looking liver. Yeah. How about that? Just thought I'd tell you that. I know it just makes your day. Man, I love my pastor. She's got a good looking liver. But if he would have inspected the livers of all my dearly departed siblings who have died of alcoholism, they probably did a different story. So let's do a New Testament story. Those are two Old Testament. Okay, New Testament. Turn over to the book of Acts. Acts 19. This is about Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he goes to the city of Ephesus, and they're having revival. People are just turning their lives over to Jesus. They're getting just great things happening. And Paul has hung out in Ephesus for 2 years. 2 years he's hanging out there. Gosh, Lord, I've been here 30 some years. Okay. So they're hanging out there, and some things start happening. So Acts 19:19. Some of them had considerable libraries about their magic arts, and they piled up their books and burnt them publicly. Someone estimated the value of the books to be what? 50,000 silver coins. I wonder what that's worth today. Put your phones away. You don't have to do that. So tonight we're going to come back with all our books and we're going to have a book burning party. No, please don't. Please don't. I do not want the fire trucks on our property. Praise the Lord. But what were they burning? They had been following strange voices and practicing the things of the land instead. And they became born again. They had their eyes open. They received Jesus and they're learning that is not God's way. And they're like, let's have a burning party. Okay, bring the marshmallows. Okay, so why do I say that? I believe that you may be involved in... Listen, I thought horoscopes was the way you do it. Find out what's going on every day. Man, got to pull up the horoscope. So if you're involved in some of that, just want you to understand that that's a voice that God doesn't want us to follow, and you will find direction for your life every day, anytime during the day, through the scriptures. Amen? How many find direction in their life in the scriptures? Well, you read your Bible. Okay, so read your Bible. Okay, so number one, God doesn't want you following the culture. Number two, he doesn't want you following strange voices. Number three, okay, doesn't want you following the strange voice of your conscience. Jiminy Cricket, let your conscience be the guide. What is it? Let your conscience, I'm not going to sing for you, right? Let your conscience be the guide, right? He's wrong. Let me say that. Okay. Sometimes your conscience is going to be correct, and other times your conscience, not so good. All right. Sometimes your conscience will be good. Sometimes it won't. And this is the problem about this is you have been programmed your entire life. That's your conscience. The things that you have lived and experienced programs your conscience. It does. Alrighty? So, even though you're a Christian, though, and you've had all these experiences in life, sometimes you'll still mess up if you're going to follow your conscience. Okay? Now, if you're not a believer, let me tell you, your conscience, well, that's like 50-50 if you're going to nail it. 50-50 if you're going to nail it with your conscience. All righty. Now, this is what your conscience will do. Ready? Everybody, hands on. Ready? Oh, I feel like it's all right to do this. I feel like I'm going to do this. It's okay. Because my conscience is telling me that. My conscience is saying that. And, you know, sometimes when you say, oh, I just feel like, you know, I feel like it. It's really your conscience. It could be correct. And sometimes, baby, it's wrong what you're feeling based on all the things that have been tossed in your life. All righty. Now, if you're a believer and you have a conscience and it's being reprogrammed, and you should honor that conscience and you should follow that. But that should not be what leads you. Because the number one voice of the Lord is the Word of God. All right. Now, think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote, what, 3/4 of the New Testament? And listen to what he wrote. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. All right. My conscience is clear. Red light, and it's not a red light, that's a green light. My conscience is clear. All right. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, saying, my conscience is clear. Alrighty? But even that isn't final proof. It is the Lord himself who must examine me and decide. Okay? So what he's saying, I know that this is true. I know it's true in my conscience. It's true. But, and this is the but I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to take it to the scripture. I'm going to take it in prayer and look at the scripture. And that's what I'm going to follow. Because you were created to hear God's voice and follow his against all the other things. So yeah, conscience is good. And let me tell you, in the 40 years I've known Jesus, my conscience is getting gooder and gooder. It is. I don't do horoscopes anymore. No, real seriously, it's getting gooder and gooder. But that's not the way I'm going to be led. I'm going to be led by the voice of God, the scriptures of God. Praise God. Now, hard to believe, but over the multitudes of years, I've had people come up to me and tell me that they're going to do something that is totally unscriptural. And they'll say, yeah, but Pastor D, I just feel like it's okay, so I'm going to go do it. They're believers, okay? And I go, no, we're not going to follow how you feel or your conscience. We're going to go, and I'll try to tell them the word of God. And then I have to take my hands off and step away from the gravy. Just got to let them do it. But I love to tell them, what are you, nuts? Okay, and there are days I do that, but they're so sincere. Oh my gosh. Okay. I can't tell you any more stories, but they ask me later. You'll go for real. Yeah. Okay. So here's your last one. Ready? Here's your last one. This one is a challenge to all of us. Okay. This is challenging for all of us. Number 4, the strange voice of circumstances, the strange voice of circumstances. Okay. If you allow circumstances to lead you, the enemy will lead you. Crazy people will lead you if you allow circumstances, all right, to lead you. And if you let circumstances lead you, sometimes they're not God. It's not God, your circumstances. Okay, case in point, just silly examples. Ready? It's Sunday morning. The ushers are passing. Do we call it the bucket, the bag, the what? It's a bag. It's a blue bag. They're passing the blue bag and they skip your row. And you go, oh, it must be God. I don't have to give today. That's right. They miss me. All right. I'm being led by circumstances. Okay. Here's another one. The alarm doesn't go off on Sunday morning, so I don't go to church. It must be God. I don't have to go to church. The alarm didn't go off. It is circumstances. How about this one? You go to the bank and you have a meeting with the loan officer, and the loan officer says, oh, I'm going to, checks everything out. I'm going to loan you this money so you can buy this house. And you go, oh, yay, it must be God, right? Because that's circumstances. Or how about, let's switch it up. The loan officer says, hey, I'm not going to loan you that money. Nope. And you go, well, I guess it must not be God. It's circumstances. Okay? So, sometimes your circumstances, it is God leading you, and sometimes it's not. But listen, guys, you cannot be led by circumstances. Okay, real transparent right here. When Jack died, Joe Molinar came up, gave me a hug. Jack died Saturday. I came to church Sunday because somebody made me. And he made me, and it was why. Joe gave me a hug, and he whispered in my ear, D, you are not led by the circumstances. So you could either believe, oh, it's God's will. Oh, that's what happens. Or you find the word of God, and you only let that lead you. Okay, that was fun. Praise the Lord. How many buddy, this is BC, how many know what a pinball game is? Oh my gosh. It's a little older generation here. Okay, so you pull the ball, the thing back, and it goes bing, 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 and you put the levers and stuff like that, and then it finally drops in, bing, bing, bing. Okay, if you don't know what it is, check it out on your app. Just go to the arcade. We just go to the pizza shop. You play pinball. Okay, if you are going to be led by circumstances, you'll be like that pinball. Bing, bing, circumstance, bing, bing, bing. And finally, you're going to end up down the hole, down a dead-end road, and you're not going to be where God wants you to be. Okay? You are not going to be where God wants you to be. So, don't be a pinball. Okay? God wants to speak to our lives. He wants to lead us, not by circumstances. Okay? And this is hands down the coolest thing. God created you to hear his voice, that he would lead you. He'd tell you things to come. He'll help you make right decisions. God created you. Isn't that exciting? That is so exciting, okay? One more scripture and then we're going to wrap up. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7. God wants to be the one who leads you. God created you to recognize his voice in a world full of strange voices. Matthew 7:7. So what do? Matthew 7:7. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Okay? Knocking is referring to prayer. And it simply means, God, what do you want me to do? God, am I supposed to do this or am I supposed to do that? God, should I take this opportunity? Should I take this job? Should I not? Simply asking. Go ask him, alrighty? Now, by the simple fact that they wrote, ask, seek, and knock, it tells me I am not going to just look at circumstances, right? He's telling you to knock. So, don't just look at your circumstances. Don't just look at your situation and go, it's like the arrows, ping, on the ground. Okay, we're going to do this. Okay? He wants you to go to him, go to the word of God, and God loves you so much, he is talking. He'll talk. He talks all the time. I just have to be quiet, right? Amen. So I just want to encourage you, never allow circumstances to lead you. He doesn't want, you know, if you're looking at circumstances, just maybe, that want you to go over here, just maybe God wants you to stand up and say, I'm going to go this way, right? But you're going to go look after those circumstances. My alarm didn't go off. It must not be God today. I just stay home, okay? No, okay? So listen, guys, God is wanting to speak, and the general way that he speaks is through the word of God. And we're going to talk about some of the other voices, the inner voice, next couple of weeks. But man, it is exciting to know that God wants to speak. He wants you to hear and he wants you to follow. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you speak. Thank you. You want to speak and you want to lead me. Woo! Praise God. Isn't that awesome? So let's just close up in prayer. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. That means no peeking, okay? Because don't fall asleep. Praise the Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you. Thank you that your kids heard your voice and they got up with the alarm. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for ministering to hearts. Thank you that we were created Father, thank you. We were created to hear your voice. I thank you. And I thank you that you have stirred in us today not to hear strange voices, not to follow after the culture, not to follow after, I said strange voices. What's the other one? Our conscience and our circumstances. I thank you, Father, that you have been speaking and directing. I thank you, Father, that today is the day we make a commitment. Come on, folks, let's make a commitment to the Lord. I will not follow those strange voices. I will camp out and let you speak to me because you want to talk to me, and I will follow your voice. Amen. Praise God. I thank you, Father, that you're ministering to people. I thank you that you're talking to them right now about making that commitment to let you be the one that leads them. Let you be the one that leads them. Not our family, not... not those strange voices, not our circumstances, and not our conscience. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You just start talking to people right now. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for bringing light and direction to everybody here in this place. I have one more offer.